My name is Anne McElhenney.
And I'm Phelan McAleer.
Welcome to the Anne and Phelan Scoop. It's December. It's nearly Christmas. In fact, it's just 2 weeks to Christmas. And it's 9 1/4 months of the 2 week flatten the curve lockdown.
That's the 2 week flatten the curve lockdown that the government said was going to be 2 weeks.
Correct.
And it's now 9 1/4 months. You mean the government lied to us, huh?
Shocker. What's in the show today? Well, by the way, before we even start, I wanted to mention that well over 500,000 people have watched Obamagate on YouTube so far, and we've had some really nice messages.
And what is Obamagate, Anne?
What is Obamagate, Phelan?
No, that was my question to you.
No, but I'm asking you, because you're the writer.
No, actually, you're asking me because you're putting the onus for answering this question on me. What is Obamagate, Anne? I'm glad you asked me that question. Obamagate is a movie it was a verbatim play of the actual text messages Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the FBI Lovebirds. Then we expanded that was called FBI Lovebirds. We expanded that into the Obamagate play, bringing in Brennan, Comey, Sally Yates, all the cabal in charge of the Russia collusion hoax. And it's all verbatim, so everything you see on the screen is from a memo, congressional testimony, from documents, notes, court testimony. These are the people who launched the fake Russia collusion hoax and, you know, tried to bring down the Obama or the
Trump really good
candidacy and Trump presidency.
It's a really great insight into the deep state, by the way. And yes. Here's what Margie...
Starring Dean Cain and Christy Swanson.
And here's what Margie Clissold...
Where are these comments, huh?
These are on YouTube, where you can watch the film, and you can get there by going to obamagatemovie.com, obamagatemovie.com. God bless you all for taking the time to put this together, and for the American people, for the American people, God is answering prayers and God is still in control. And yes, I shared it. Wow. And she's saying, you know, praise God for the number of people who've watched. Thank you for putting these idiots, self-righteous people in context. That's from Rick Villarreal 5 days ago. He wrote that. Great job, people. Loved the format. Entertaining and very revealing. And Kathy Glasgow 4 days ago. Wow. Enjoyed this movie thoroughly. Hope you get it advertised some more. People need to see this very important piece. Never heard of it all. Put together in one place. Thank you so much. So what else is happening today? So thank you very, very much.
What else are we going to have on the show, Anne?
So is there anyone left in California who actually likes our Democrat overlords? We look at how one restaurant owner realized just who is essential and who is not.
And let's look, you'll love that video actually, but let's look at all the COVID hypocrites and see how they have actually one thing in common.
Yeah, we decided to bring them all together today and you'll see that in a moment. And liberal Irish journalists, by the way, there are no other kind, by the way, except for these two Irish journalists who are not, are being sent for re-education classes after breaching COVID regulations. They've been pushing for the little people.
The little people? I wrote that without...
Thinking of the little people in Ireland, as in the leprechauns.
And Brian Godawa, if you're listening to this, you're a racist.
Okay. And the Sheriff of Riverside has had enough of the Democrat bullying. You'll really enjoy when we get to see him.
I just want to clarify that he's racist because he keeps calling me a little leprechaun.
There you go. San Diego has gone completely bonkers and woke. And you will not believe the story we have from San Diego. And by the way, very disappointing because San Diego shouldn't have succumbed to this, but it has.
And on Monday, the word Claire was trending. The name Claire was trending. Who is she? Why should you care? Answer, you shouldn't, but I'm going to tell you why. Really, you shouldn't care.
And there's a China no like knees joke. Right. China no like knees joke. We got to get to that. And we have on the cookery.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
Fish and chips. We have fish and chips is the recipe for the day. And you really won't want to miss that. But we want to start by watching this extraordinary video, this incredible video of something that's just happened here in Los Angeles, a bar owner. Let's have a watch of that.
Just to context, all outdoor, so they spent tens of thousands of dollars, everyone spent tens of thousands of dollars designing and building outdoor patios because you could eat outdoors, and then they decided to close those as well. So all restaurants are closed everywhere. One bar owner returned to
tidy up her place, yes, and here's what she found. Let's have a look.
So this is my place, the Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon. If you go to my page, you can see all the work I did for outdoor dining, for tables being 7 feet apart. And I come in today because I'm organizing a protest and I came in to get stuff for that. Good. And I walk into my parking lot And obviously, Mayor Garcetti has approved this. Has approved this being set up for a movie company. I'm losing everything. Everything I own is being taken away from me. And they set up a movie company right next to my outdoor patio, which is right over here. And people wonder why I'm protesting and why I have had enough. They have not given us money and they have shut us down. We cannot survive. My staff cannot survive. Look at this. Tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me as a slap in my face, that's safe. This is safe. 50 feet away. This is dangerous. Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom is responsible for every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under. And we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
So sad. It's tragic. It's enough to drive you completely bonkers.
Look, there are no essential workers and there are no essential non-essential workers. We should never have allowed anyone to describe anyone as non-essential or essential. But even if you say there are some essentials like police officers or soldiers or nurses or doctors, by any stretch of the imagination, the film industry is not an essential industry.
And by the way, the porn adult movie industry is not essential. And you made the point earlier, Phelim, that movie set that you can see in that video there could have easily been for, you know, a few porn movies.
Yeah,
that
so
are
they're
being
filming
shot.
They're filming indoors or even outdoors. And what are they filming indoors? It could be a porn movie. It could be 10 porn movies that they film in a day. And you know, so this woman is not allowed to have her restaurant outdoor patio open, but you're allowed to film next door porn movies. Pretty, and by the way, I don't think there's much social distance in porn movies.
Oh, boom, boom. Okay, our next section of this show today, actually, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this, is the hypocrites of COVID, and it's a very, very, very long list. And the amazing thing is, it keeps growing. I mean, it literally is every second day.
Yes.
We're hearing of another.
But even as the people get caught, our lords and masters, they seem to care less and less about getting caught. And this hypocrisy comes in all shapes, sizes, formats, locations. The most recent actually was last week's Saturday Night Live, who used, you know, Staten Island native, as he never tires of telling you. He's from Staten Island, Pete Davidson. You know, the guy is a multi-gazillionaire, but anyway, he's a Staten Island native and he wears a hoodie, you know.
That makes him a man of the people.
Man of the people. So they use him to attack fellow Staten Islanders for protesting the closure of their bars and restaurants. Let's hear just a little bit of the absolutely hilarious skit on last weekend's show. Let's hear that skit now.
One guy at the protest even gave a speech where he literally compared not being able to drink indoors to being Jewish during the Holocaust, which must have been awkward for the people there who had to suddenly pretend they believed in the Holocaust.
Yeah, so did you hear anything strange there, Ron? Did you hear anything strange? Actually, it's not strange. It's normal.
There seems to be a studio audience, Phelim. Is that what you're getting at?
That's not a laugh track. That is
a
not
a studio audience.
That's an actual.
Now, would they be essential, Phelim? Would they be essential workers?
No, they're not workers.
Oh, of course,
so
they're not workers.
How do you get permission to get a studio audience in?
They're indoors.
The answer is in this article that I came across on IndieWire.
Very good.
Look at you doing the research. From October 6th, 2020.
What did you find out, Phelim?
Saturday Night Live have found a COVID loophole.
Nice.
For its live audience.
Lovely.
By paying them as employees.
Oh, clever.
So if you want an audience, you're not allowed an audience, but you are allowed to bring your workers in, your essential workers, because you're part of the entertainment industry, which is essential.
Very good. Well, now, put that in your pipe. which I'm sure he has, a number of pipes there.
Controversial. Hunter Biden.
No, I'm talking about Pete Davidson. But yes. Anyway,
Are you implying he has crack pipes?
No.
Meth pipes?
No. I'm talking about regular pipe, actually.
Oh, yeah, because he's a hipster.
Yeah. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. Okay. So, but he's not the only one. He's not the only hipster.
Let's go through that. So Austin Mayor Steve Adler released this video on Facebook. Let's play it.
Our numbers are increasing, and everybody has to be aware of that. And then we need to, stay home if you can. Do everything you can to try to keep the numbers down. This is not the time to relax. We're going to be looking really closely. And I'm going to add a new message. We have trying to do contact tracing to see if we may have to close things down if we're not careful. If we're going to be closing things down, it would be great to be able to do it in a really surgical way and going really specifically to things that are our problems.
So yeah, as you very heartfelt, very, we need to stay home, no time to relax, we're going to have to close things down.
Have to be very careful.
Only thing is, the previous day, before this video, Adler organized a 20-person wedding for his daughter at a downtown hotel in Austin, violating city recommendations, urging residents not to gather in groups of more than 10 people ahead of the Thanksgiving. But actually, the best bit is that video was not shot in Austin. It was actually shot in Cabo.
Lovely.
It was actually...
That's another country, isn't it, Phelan?
Cabo, Mexico.
Would that be Mexico?
Yes.
Lovely there. We've been there. Lovely there. Lovely weather.
Yes.
But it would involve travelling in a plane, very, very risky.
We got a good deal in the hotel. Do you remember that?
Did we?
Yes, we got a really good deal in the hotel. And he got there. Was one of the Hiltons staying there? No, Jessica Simpson was there at the time. It was a really nice hotel. But I was in the pool, and I don't drink, but I was sitting there, and I heard these guys, who obviously, and they seemed nice guys.
This is called a tangent.
No, it's not. Well, and they were going, oh, they were shocked, right? So they got a good deal in the hotel, and it was a poolside bar. Do you know how much one Grey Goose was at the poolside bar?
I think we talked about this for many years, so I think I possibly know. Was it $20 or
$30? $18.
There you go.
$18.
That'll put you off the drink.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So... He went to Cabo.
Recorded
a video. That's Steve Adler recording a video telling people not to travel whilst he was in Cabo.
Love that.
Mexico.
But he's very unusual, isn't he, Phelan? Sure, there's very few hypocrites out there.
Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl, and that's Kuehl, said this about outdoor dining.
In Los Angeles County, Supervisor Sheila Kuehl voted to close outdoor dining last week and then dined at a restaurant before the order took effect. While explaining her vote, she said that it's magical thinking to say that people can wear masks and distance at a restaurant. Kuehl's office says she felt sorry for the restaurant business's struggles and vowed that she would not dine out again until the county permits it.
So it's dangerous.
Fair enough. Very,
and
very dangerous.
And she voted to close
Totally. And then what did she do, Phelan?
Immediately after saying that and voting to close all outdoor dining in a day or two, she immediately went out and enjoyed an outdoor meal at one of her favourite restaurants.
Il Forno.
Santa Monica.
And we have to say, we go to an Il Forno, I think the one in West Hollywood, very nice Il
very
Forno.
Nice. Oh,
very
yeah.
nice, lovely
why
pasta.
Would you? Yeah.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
But it was dangerous for everyone else, but not for her.
And we're not finished yet. Who else? We've had another character in California. Our own Governor Gavin Newsom.
If the media was a proper media, this guy would have to resign.
He'd be gone.
And he would never. I mean, they're talking about him running for president and all that. But, this would have finished anyone else's career if the media were.
I think one of my biggest objections to Gavin Newsom is, and we're going to play the tape in a moment. But what's incredible about him is the similarity between him and the person that you would choose in the cast for sleazy politician in a B movie. He has the sleazy politician thing down pat. And look at the smile, the smarmy smile. How anyone ever voted for him is beyond me.
Okay, let's hear. So the story is that he was caught, reported, that he had a meal in the French Laundry restaurant, which is the most expensive restaurant in California, with 12 other people.
Oh.
And let's hear his faux apology and him explaining that it was an outdoor meal.
I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge something just before we go into the Q&A. And that is very soberly acknowledged that a few weeks ago, I was asked to go to a friend's 50th birthday. My wife and I, a friend that I've known for almost 20 years, and and a friend that had, well, put a lot of time and energy into his 50th birthday. It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties.
Now, do you hear the words he used, right? It was an outdoor restaurant. Most people listening to that, you see, thought that meant he had outdoors. Then a few days later, these photos surfaced and he is indoors. He is correct, it's an outdoor restaurant, but there's a sliding door. So it's a three-walled room with a sliding door. And the person who took the photograph said the sliding door was closed because it was so raucous and boisterous that people were complaining about the noise.
And so you know the problem, by the way?
Indoors.
And you know the problem with the raucousness and the loudness is that if you're shouting, then all that airborne stuff is coming out of your mouth. But the other thing that I think is delightful about this Gavin Newsom French Laundry story is that the people he was eating with were not close friends. It wasn't like his daughter or his mother or his whatever.
Yeah.
This actually was some lobbyists. And what's even more delightful and fabulous is who the lobbyists. So who were these people that were at the table, Philip?
The president of the California Medical Association and the chief lobbyist of the California Medical
Delightful.
Association.
Delightful. Yes. So this, we're not finished. So let's go to Colorado now. So we have the mayor of Denver. His name is Michael Hancock. And he tweeted the day before Thanksgiving, avoid travel if you can. And he actually tweeted this from
the departure lounge of an airport before he boarded a flight to Houston on his way to visit his daughter in Mississippi for a Thanksgiving.
Delightful. And that's not all.
Yeah, so actually, the mayors, you've got to love these mayors. So DC Mayor Muriel.
Oh, and by the way, when we come to the end of the list, and maybe you can do this, you can put fingers on the buzzers, there's something that all of these people have in common.
That's correct.
So you try and think about that now. I know it's not easy. So keep think about that. Go back over the ones we've mentioned so far. And we're not finished. They have something in common. Mm. Go on ahead, Phil.
DC Mayor Muriel Bowser. She tightened the lockdowns. So she ordered 14-day quarantines for residents after visiting hotspots, which included Delaware.
Hotspot.
Yeah. So then when Joe Biden won, she went there to celebrate his win.
In a hotspot.
Yeah.
She went to a hotspot.
When she came back, she did not subject herself to quarantine because the political rally was essential travel. And therefore, she was not subject to these rules. But so she's saying the virus recognizes.
It does.
Itself. It actually goes, oh, that was essential travel.
Phelan, I can't believe you don't know that. Yeah. And by the way, the virus also recognizes the time. So for example, when there's a curfew here at 10 o'clock, it's because after 10, which is wonderful actually, to know that it becomes much more dangerous. So you really need to stay inside, probably stay in one room of the house on your own.
Yes.
Because after 10 p.m., the virus it mutates. It's almost like a science fiction movie. It becomes this completely new thing and is much, much more dangerous after 10 p.m. Who else do you have in your list?
I should have pushed. I mean, it's very hard to rank these people because...
Oh, no, we could do that another
day. Some of them are fresher. Some of them are newsier, but some of them are just wonderful, right? In terms of showing absolute disregard for the rules. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
She's a Catholic. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Is that what they all have in common? They're Catholics?
Oh, that could be an interesting one. Funny, I don't think that's what they have in common, but we're going to get back to that.
I always said Catholics were a bunch of fabulous.
Can I just say one thing about Nancy Pelosi? Her hair does very often look well, and I'm conscious of the fact that I haven't had a blowout because obviously it's all closed up around here. But Nancy, what did she do? What did Nancy do when all the salons in San Francisco were closed?
Yes, she received a hair treatment. What would you call it?
A hair treatment. Oh, we know now. I'm a girl. I know what a hair treatment is.
What? Well, stop smiling. Well, you're smiling like this. What's the secret, Anne?
Girls know what a hair treatment
yes,
is.
Yes, I'm not a girl.
Fair enough.
I've worked that out.
I'm married to you, so I know that you're not a girl. The hair treatment now would be where you'd be getting the deep conditioner, for example. You'd be getting a deep conditioning treatment, but she got that along with a blowout. And can I say, by the way...
Did she get a bit of colour in as well?
Oh, I'm not... We don't know now.
Right, anyway.
I don't know about colour now, but I think it was a blowout, but I'll tell you one thing,
very good. And the media, you know the media don't want to report this, because they keep, you know, even, I'm just looking at these articles here that are there, you know, whilst the city remained, you know, she was maskless, while the city remained under a mask mandate. And that's, that's the way a lot of the media have been reporting, maskless Nancy. Because not wearing a mask is something we could all fall down on, you know. But they brush over the fact that salons were closed by order of the state. because they were so very, very dangerous. It was dangerous for the people in them. It was dangerous for the workers in them. That, to me, the mask thing is irrelevant. To me, is that she was in illegally pirating.
I love her response to this. I think her response to this is absolutely priceless.
Let's hear her. Did she apologize? No, eck as like she did. Let's hear her now in her response to this.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times, and that when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Anything else?
So there you go. It's a setup.
It was a setup.
The salon owes her apology.
The salon set her up. It's just terrible. But this, I have to say, if you were talking earlier about ranking film, I have to say, I think this is my favourite. Now, what do they call this lady? They call her... Beetlejuice. This is Beetlejuice, and you'll understand why, if you know the character Beetlejuice, why they call this lady Beetlejuice. So this is the Chicago mayor, Laurie Lightfoot. Laurie Lightfoot, who looks a little bit, actually quite remarkably like Beetlejuice. So let's hear what she says she has in store for people who break the rules in Chicago. Let's listen to this now.
Now, I've directed Superintendent Brown to order all police districts to give special attention to these parties. And this is how it's going to be. We will shut you down, we will cite you, and if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
So then, wow, so scary, right? So really scary. But however, then, when one has a little bit of a look at Laurie Lightfoot's own behaviour, what happened
to
him?
So she told people...
I'm going to put you in jail.
But you cannot go to hair salons because getting your roots done is not essential. So what did she do? That's fair enough. She went and into a shutdown salon that was closed under the state governor's lockdown.
I adore what she said about that,
and got her hair done.
You know what she said about that?
Yes.
I love that. Personal hygiene is very important to her. She talked about personal hygiene being very important to her. Because you see, personal hygiene isn't important to everyone, but it's very important to Beetlejuice. Yeah. It's very important to Laurie Lightyear, whatever her face is.
Laurie Lightyear.
Is her name Lightyear? Lightfoot.
That's Buzz.
Oh, Buzz Lightyear. Laurie Lightfoot. So Laurie Lightfoot.
Laurie Loughlin.
She's very, very into personal hygiene. Anyway, go on ahead, Phil.
Then she decided to triumphantly post a photo of herself in the middle of a crowd, massive crowd, celebrating, and she's maskless, of course, massive crowd, screaming through a bullhorn to denote Joe Biden's apparent victory.
And by the way, can I just say again, screaming needs to be highlighted. We need to highlight the word screaming.
But
being
in the middle of a crowd.
No, because, for example, you can't sing, right? You can't sing in churches that are open because singing would, you know, project, you might, air might come out of your mouth at a velocity or whatever. But she was allowed to scream through a bullhorn, the same woman who said she's going to put you in prison. But her excuse was...
The crowd was gathered whether I was there or not.
Fabulous. We're not finished. The list
is
not over.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, an Irishman himself.
Oh, God bless.
God bless him. He closed all the restaurants in Maryland.
He closed
all the restaurants in Philadelphia.
Because of science.
And then drove to Maryland to eat after banning restaurants in his own...
Because of the science. Because you see, the thing is, can I just mention this film? Because it's very important that people get this information. Because not only does the virus become really, really virulent after 10 p.m. at night, it's very, very bad in some places. And it's more contagious in some places. But if you go to Maryland, if you cross the border over to Maryland, it's fine. It's no bother at all.
So Cuomo, Governor Hotspot.
One of our favorites.
Governor Hotspot.
One of our favorites.
He's blue in the face. After killing all the grannies in the nursing homes, he's blue in the face telling people to wear a mask, and you have to have one of those quarantines if you travel out of state. So he traveled to John Lewis's funeral in Georgia, hugged several of the mourners without wearing a mask, and then came back, refused to quarantine because he is essential.
Apparently.
So... I mean, our little twerp, Eric Garcetti, who may be in the next cabinet.
Twerp's
a good word.
LA Mayor Eric Garcetti joined protesters after implementing his own stay-at-home order.
Yes, the Black Lives Matter protesters in June. So, and de Blasio, I mean, it's almost, de Blasio's just, he went to the gym after closing down all the gyms. And The mayor, as a spokesperson says, the mayor wanted a place that kept him grounded one last time, a spokesman told News 4 New York. These are bad people. What have they got in common?
What have they got in common? I think they're all Democrats.
They are all Democrats.
Isn't that funny?
It is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Actually, it is.
Isn't that amazing?
Is it amazing?
It kind of is amazing.
Is it amazing that we're amazed? Or are we really amazed?
Oh, no, we're not amazed. Of course, obviously. Sorry, we're only playing
the
game.
I'm slightly amazed.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, that's about all that can be said about that. But I love that. Yeah, the mayor wanted to visit a place that keeps him grounded one last time.
I'd ground him.
Who are these people? I'd ground him. Oh, I'll tell you, I'd ground him. But over in Ireland, by the way, just to let you know that Ireland is just as idiotic. Over in Ireland, what happened? So Ireland has a state broadcaster called RTE.
Which is basically...
Which is a television channel paid for by taxpayers, even though they don't want to.
And it dominates Irish society. It's basically ABC, NBC, CBS, all put together. It's all the top stars. There was no alternative until about 20 years ago. So they've had a 50-year incumbent advantage. They dominate the agenda, and it's irredeemably liberal. And they're so pro-lockdown, they're so pro-panic, they're so pro-everything. And then the lady who is the head receptionist at the front desk was retiring, and they all turned out, all the stars, every star from every program turned out for the party.
Yay!
And posed with no masks, no social distancing, had photographs, and had a party whilst... I mean, Irish pubs have been closed.
Have been closed since March, by the way.
And small, I mean, and big have been closed. And they...
And while it's easy to make jokes about Ireland and Irish pubs, Irish rural pubs are a very vital social connection for people living in the countryside. And it's horrific what's been happening.
So anyway, they did an investigation. And they found some people did not maintain social distancing. Most people didn't. And when it was breached, they didn't wear masks. There was a breach of the requirement to avoid crowded places. The one I like, there was a breach of internal RTE COVID-19 protocols for visitors. So people came in. The response at the time was it was just an impromptu gathering. But people came in from outside RTE.
Oh, yeah.
So that means that people knew it was going on. It was a general...
How is RTE going to solve this horrific thing that happened, Phil, after doing their thorough investigation?
They're going to send the staff to basically re-education classes.
Coronavirus re-education camps.
Yeah, well...
Be careful with what you do out there, because you could end up in one of those camps yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, after all of this, looking at these awful people
who
everywhere...
Think so superior.
Who think they're so superior... We need to be cleansed now. I think we need some healing now.
Yes.
And luckily, we have an actual leader that is worth listening to. And that is, and you know, you find those leadership and impressive leaders in really odd places every now and again. And this is a beautiful thing. So Riverside County here in California, Riverside County here in Los Angeles, County Sheriff is a total badass and a total rock star.
Let's hear him.
Let's hear what he says.
Hello. I'm Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. We have all recently learned of the new regional approach to combating COVID-19 and the pending closure and stay-at-home orders from our governor. We were also told there was a potential he would be withholding federal and state funding from counties who did not enforce the orders. Ironically, it wasn't that long ago our same governor loudly and publicly argued how wrong it was for the President of the United States to withhold federal funding from states not complying with federal laws. The dictatorial attitude toward California residents while dining in luxury, traveling, keeping his business open, and sending his kids to in-person private schools is very telling about his attitude toward California residents, his feelings about the virus, and it is extremely hypocritical. These closures and stay-at-home orders are flat-out ridiculous. The metrics used for closures are unbelievably faulty and are not representative of true numbers and are disastrous for Riverside County. When the medical field is so split about this virus, it might be time to employ a little common sense. Keeping money and support from our hospitals, who are struggling with normal, seasonal increases in patients, coupled with COVID-19 patients, is irresponsible. It appears part of the new goal is to shift attention away from his and others' personal behavior with a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do attitude by turning public opinion against California sheriffs. He is expecting us to arrest anyone violating these orders, cite them and take their money, close their businesses, make them stay in their homes, and take away their civil liberties, or he will punish all of us. I believe that all jobs are essential to someone. Leaders do not threaten, attempt to intimidate, or cause fear. Bullies do. As has been our position from the beginning of this pandemic, the Sheriff's Department is asking and expecting Riverside County residents to act responsibly and do what they can to protect themselves and their family from contracting the virus. Wear your mask and practice social distancing. While the governor's office and the state has threatened action against violators, the Riverside County Sheriff's Department will not be blackmailed, bullied, or used as muscle against Riverside County residents in the enforcement of the governor's orders. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a safe and happy new year.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That'll teach you. So
no comment.
Good for him. I mean, you know, I don't think we need to add anything to that except for well done you. And yes, you are a badass and you are a rock star. Thank you, Sheriff. So our next story, by the way, which is just extraordinary, and this is disappointing, by the way, because you'd expect more from San Diego. But unfortunately, you know, here we go. Teachers have been required to go to re-education classes.
Well, sorry, it was voluntary, but we all know when your school board tells you it's voluntary and you go for promotion the next time, that it's actually, you have to attend these classes.
Yeah.
And it's anti-racism classes led by Robin DiAngelo and
Ibram X. Kendi. So
he's the author of How to Be an Anti-Racist. So,
and she's the author of White Fragility. And these two, by the way, oh my God, how much money are they making these days? We're going to find out. So what happened was there was a Zoom class, obviously, and there was a PowerPoint presentation. We're going to show you a few of those PowerPoints now. And the first one that we're going to look at is, this was put up on the screen. And try and understand as you're watching this, when you do these Zoom things in a conference and they're using a PowerPoint, you can write in. So there's a place that you put in a chat. So the first one, what's the first one there, Phelan?
So you are a racist. In a chat, try to use one word to answer the question, how would this make you feel?
So my answer to that, Phelan, is I have two words. And because this is a family-friendly thing, you won't hear the two words.
And then, yeah, then
and
we
then,
have...
Then we have this one.
You are upholding racist ideas, structures, and policies. In the chat, try to use one word to answer the question, how would this make you feel?
Phelan, I can't answer that with one word, but I can answer it with two. But because this is a family-friendly show, I'm not going to say what the two words are.
Yeah. So it goes on. So they know. Yeah, what are those two words then?
I'm not going to say what those two words are, Phelan, because we're family-friendly. But also the first thing that they did on this thing, which I thought was extraordinary, was at the beginning of the training, they did this land acknowledgement. You can see the slide I'm putting up there. We acknowledge that we meet on stolen land taken from Indigenous peoples. I am speaking to you from Kumeyaay land. We must acknowledge the hidden history of violence against Indigenous people in our effort to move towards justice.
By the way, in what world is violence against Indigenous people hidden? I mean, have we not seen documentaries and books and every, you know, it's the least hidden history on the planet. And so the Native Americans had many parts of their communities. But do you remember the most famous one are the Braves? Those are the warriors of the Native Americans. Who were they fighting? You know, were they fighting each other? Did the Kumamwewea steal the land or take the land from someone else? Is it just because they happen to be on the land at that particular time that they have this multi-generational, multi-century entitlement to that land? What about the people they took it from in a battle with their Braves, or the people that those people took it from? Where, you know,
I have a question.
Yes.
I would love, Just imagine if Phelan was one of the teachers in San Diego and he asked that question of Ibram K. X.
Yes.
XK, what? Did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
Of the two authors of those two books. Mm-hmm. Imagine if Phelan had asked that question. I'd say you'd never get a job in San Diego County ever
again.
No,
it's voluntary. This course is voluntary, but it's
voluntary, but then when you go for an interview, they say, did you, by the way, do the white privilege course?
And what did you think of it?
And I think if you don't have the right answer to that, good luck with your career.
Yes.
I want to just show one more slide. I think just one more slide. And this is the white privilege and culture. And you're just seeing that on your screen right now. Since white people in America hold most of the political, institutional, and economic power, they receive advantages that non-white groups do not. Here's my question to that. Just off the top of my head. Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice who came from absolutely nothing to reach the highest office that you can achieve as a legal person, I imagine is the way to describe that. And yet when the Museum of Black History was opened in Washington, D.C., by the Smithsonian, he wasn't there, correct?
Yes, that's right.
They left him out. A man who has, he's not a criminal, he obviously has achieved this extraordinary measure of success in life, and he was left out. How does that work into this white privilege and culture film? Can you help me with that one?
It doesn't. Black conservatives don't fit the narrative, so therefore we have to ignore them. But since white people in America hold most of the political, institutional, and economic power,
tell that to Obama and Michelle.
But also, do you know the most successful ethnic grouping in America is at the moment?
I know the answer because you told me this before.
Nigerian Americans. They're more successful than whites, more successful than Asians, more successful than anything. But also, Harvard has so many Asians who qualify for it that they've had to put in an algorithm to their admissions to keep Asians out.
So that's not a great privilege for Asian people.
Their algorithm also keeps white people out, but the biggest people who suffer are the Asians because Asians come from these cultures of striving for academic excellence. So rather than having a class with 50% Asian, there's a cap on them.
So basically, the teachers are told that they're racist and upholding racist ideas, structures and policies and must commit to becoming anti-racist in the classroom. And by the way, this story was really brought to consciousness by Christopher Ruffo, who did some great work and was the one who published the slides.
Found the slides.
And I wanted to put a shout out to him. And he noted, by the way, that only 47% of SDUSD students are proficient in reading and writing. And he makes a really great point. Can you imagine if you were a teacher and you got a job in San Diego and you were under the ridiculous illusion that you were there to teach children how to read and write? And then you ended up at this training in a school district that's failing, by the way, like dramatically failing.
Yeah.
They're going to devote an enormous amount of time to telling you that you're a racist, that you as a teacher are a racist. But it's not the only thing going on in San Diego. Again, part of the same mentality. And this is scary, by the way, for people. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's really scary because this is telling you where their priorities are, what they think is really important. This is a second initiative in San Diego. They've decided to change grading practices to be equitable and less punitive because they've decided that children not turning in exercises or turning in exercises that are incomplete, that it's actually to be graded down for incomplete exercises or for not turning up your homework on time.
If you're a person of color, by the way.
Is racist. The whole thing is racist, basically. Yeah. And that people of color are getting low grades, and the reason they're getting the low grades is that the teacher is racist, basically.
Yeah.
So they're going to change that, and they're going to make it not necessary
to have
a standard or to send in homework. So students will be no longer docked in their academic grades for turning work in late or other factors related to work habits. These aspects of student behavior will be judged in a separate citizenship grade.
Sounds very fascist, doesn't it?
Rather than getting one chance to get a good grade, students will be given additional chances to revise their work and show improvements. Under the new grading policy, when a student is caught cheating, I love this, by the way, this is one I highlighted this. When a student is caught cheating, schools must give the student a chance to reflect on what he or she did, repair trust, and receive counselling or help. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. Instructional Support Officer Nicole DeWitt said the district also is exploring offering credit, no credit grades to students with extenuating circumstances. Well, I think what they're going to do is you'll do well no matter what, basically.
Yes.
Everyone in San Diego is going to do well. But I would say children who do their homework and are very vigilant and diligent could be a new word there.
It takes a village to raise a child.
No. So those children actually are actually going to be discriminated against. Now, what did you put in there, Philip? Now, this is Claire. Tell us about Claire. Now, Claire, C-L-A-R.
Earlier in the week, Claire was trending on Twitter and it caught my attention. C-L-A. It's not County Clare in Ireland. It's Claire Malone. Journalist Claire Malone announces she's been laid off from 538.
Shocking.
538, they made their name, I think, in 2012 when the guy, Nate Silver, correctly predicted that Obama was going to win in the 2012 election, and he became this kind of guru. He then proceeded to get it so badly wrong. Claire is basically his number two there. And then he was bought, I think, by ABC. But he proceeded to get 2016 completely wrong, as badly wrong as everyone else.
He claims
he didn't get it wrong. His was only 80% likelihood of a Hillary victory. And Nate says, I got it less wrong than everybody else. But let's play the little tape. Actually, this is a little known tape here of Nate Silver. In the evening, as the results are coming in, this is him being interviewed on ABC News. And let's hear what he thought then.
And we are back now with election night 2016. I want to go straight to Nate Silver from 538, our forecasting guru. And Nate, your forecast is changing right now?
A little bit. We have Clinton up to 78%. She was at 72% at the start of the night as more blue states come in predictably to her side.
So she goes up even though those states were expected to go her way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we're seeing is that we have some semblance of a normal election night in America. You're not seeing New Jersey go red or something like that. I mean, obviously, the first major swing state that's callable shift those numbers a whole bunch. And we're on the edge of four or five or six, maybe not on the edge, but monitoring four or five or six states right now. But, you know, no major domino has fallen, but still the script is going a little bit more how the Clinton campaign would want it.
Oh, my God. He's saying Hillary is on track to win. The results are actually coming in her favor. How could you see that? You know, you were predicting a Hillary landslide and she was winning the state she expected to win, but not winning the ones she didn't expect to win. And there was no swing, there was no blue wave, and it was perfectly clear that this election was not going the way of the pollsters, but he was so blinded by bias. So then fast forward to 2020, did they learn their lessons? Did they predict the tight race that it is? Did they predict that there wasn't going to be a blue wave? Did they predict that the Senate was going to be not won by the Democrats? No, nothing of that. And this lady, Claire Malone, has been made redundant by ABC, and everyone's treating it like it's a national tragedy. The whole shower of them should have been fired or sent to one of these COVID re-education classes. Or, you know, the idea that they're just allowed to keep going and that this is somehow a tragedy that Claire Malone has been made redundant. It's not. It's long overdue, but she's been made redundant for the wrong reasons. It's probably a money thing. But if they had come up with the best results, if they'd come up with the goods and predicted everything like they're supposed to be, they're supposed to be data nerds, people would be flocking to that site. I don't go to it anymore. I used to listen to their podcast too. I don't go there anymore because it's partisan and it's not data crunching. It's data crunching to push an agenda. And, you know, and it's very funny. She's done this little kind of resume on a Twitter feed, and it's the usual nonsense. And, you know, here's one of the things, and it's a resume. Hey, editors out there, here's some of the things I can do. I spent a lot of time covering the GOP, which led to this look back at the historical roots of his racism as electoral strategy. Excited for bigger projects like this. Would love to write a book.
And please give me a job.
But also, it's like racism as electoral strategy. Is there any party out there that, you know, is focused on pandering to the black community and the Hispanic community and treats them all the same and sort of takes their vote for granted?
Democrats.
Yes, but no.
See,
it's
how I got that question
It's only Republicans, according to Claire Malone, who, and you know, she shouldn't be allowed near a typewriter ever again. But I don't. She probably will be. So there we go. I mean, that was one thing I remember discussing with Molly Hemingway. Did anyone approach Molly Hemingway? Got the 2016 election right, and she actually, you know, was close. And she's been good on politics ever since. Did anyone ever approach her after 2016 and say, Molly, we need your voice in our outlet? And she said, yeah, somebody, a couple of people, you know, sort of made noises and then just it all faded away. They didn't learn any lessons from 2016. They doubled down and they got the fiasco of 2020.
So a big, massive controversy in China right now. There's a Hollywood movie called Monster, which is based on a video game, and massive problem because there is an insult. The Chinese who've watched this film, it was released in China just recently, feel insulted.
Some Chinese
feel insulted by a section of the film. So actually Variety helpfully put a big article out about this, and then they asked the question, what do Chinese viewers find so offensive?
So I have to say, I couldn't understand it. Can you understand what
kind of? It's worth breaking down exactly what it is about those 10 seconds of Monster Hunter that has set off such a firestorm, if only to get a glimpse of how unforeseeably...
This is from the Variety article.
How unforeseeably difficult it can be in this political climate to create global content that works in China, now the world's largest film market and abroad. So basically, there's a scene in the movie, and here's what Variety says. In the scene, a white male character and an Asian character, played by Jin, are driving together at high speed. What? says the former. Look at my knees, shouts Jin.
What kind of knees are those? Asks his companion.
Chinese,
jokes Jin.
Punning on the word's last syllable.
I think this joke should be banned just for that bad
though
joke.
Some might... So this is it. That's the 10 seconds. Though some might view this as camaraderie and banter over a bad pun, Chinese viewers were incensed after the exchange was interpreted as a reference to an old racist schoolyard rhyme insulting Asians. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these. It apparently sing-song.
It's a sing-song, and then it's accompanied by knee slaps and where you do this.
Oh, and you do slanty-eyed gestures.
Yes,
This interpretation was subtly propelled forward by the Chinese subtitle. To localise the joke, translators...
This is where I get confused then.
The joke... translators made the dialogue a reference to a Chinese colloquialism about how men must have dignity and not kneel down easily. So men have gold under their knees and only kneel in the heavens... To the heavens and to their mothers, the saying goes in rough translation, implying that any time a man kneels, it should be an occasion precious as gold. So the inference, this is all from Variety, of a connection to the racist rhyme from the word knees and Chinese, combined with the subtitles phrasing about kneeling down, appears to have made many patriotic young viewers believe that the moment in English must be an obvious insult. So basically, it's a complete drama. Everyone's very upset. The film has been pulled from lots and lots of cinemas across China.
And now they've re-edited.
But now what they've done is, what the Americans have done now is, the Americans have re-edited, taken out the 10 seconds, because we must bow down to the Chinese overlord.
But also, it's welcome to the party, China. I mean, is this the first Chinese microaggression?
By the way, what's really funny, or funny, but by the way, the Chinese are very, very upset about this. And in order for them to slap back aggressively at the Americans, they have now created all these memes that are being pushed out all over China, where they have, even the ruling, by the way, and this is again from Variety, even the ruling party's Communist Youth League took the unusual step of slamming the film on its official Weibo account Friday evening, pouring gas on the already burning flames of patriotic outrage with a post calling out American racism and hypocrisy. What kind of knees are these? It wrote above the hashtag of the movie's title, accompanied by a photo of a giant policeman's knees crashing down on the tiny heads of upward-looking passerbys, overlaid with the words...
Floyd.
Floyd.
Can you breathe?
Floyd, can you breathe?
So it's just like here, they've learned the lesson from American liberals, actually, American leftists. If someone says something and doesn't know that it's racist. It doesn't matter. It's still racist. And it's like, but I, you know, so there's absolutely no way anyone involved in this meant any offense at all.
Absolutely not.
Zero. But that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Guilt doesn't matter.
No.
Intention doesn't matter. It's just, let's all pile on.
And can you imagine, I mean, for a second, how expensive it was for them to go back and re-edit that film with the amount of copies of it would be out there? Just a massive effort. But you must, you know, and obviously this is a lesser version of this kind of thing. But we know that this is basically what's been happening. And in fact, the worst aspect of this is where Hollywood are sending scripts prior to shooting movies, sending scripts for script approval to the Communist Party of China, because getting into that Chinese market is so lucrative. So it just tells you a little bit more as well about how principled Hollywood is about their content. You
about their art.
About their art.
And how brave they are. So what's the recipe today?
We have a recipe today, and this is so simple and so great. And by the way, a fabulous way to get children to eat fish, if you have any difficulty with children eating fish. But grown-ups quite like this too, and it's fun and it's easy. And basically what happened was we bought a butterball turkey deep fat fryer a year ago for Christmas, because I've always wondered about this deep fat frying of turkey. And actually, you know what? It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, brilliant and really fast and all that. I think we cooked the turkey, pretty substantial turkey, in about an hour. I then realized we had that deep fat fryer, and I was thinking, you know, it's terrible it's not used. And then I was sort of thinking, I had this fish in the bottom of the freezer. I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to take that out. And why don't we, just because you're not cooking a whole turkey, you can still use this massive fryer.
That's right.
And in fact, what's great about it is, because it's such a massive fryer, you can get a lot of fish in. So here we are going to do this very simple
recipe.
Fish and chips. No, Philip, it's not really fish and chips, because it's fish and vegetables. So what we're doing here, very, very easy. And the type of fish to use for this is a meaty white fish, substantial fish. You don't want something insubstantial that because this is a lot of heat. This is an enormous amount of heat. So you don't want to overcook the fish. So these are nice, fatter white fish. And what I have here is some bass and some cod that I just found in the bottom of the freezer. Cut it up into those smaller pieces you can see there.
Yeah.
Then put some flour with pepper and salt, into a bag. Very good idea to put it into one of those. What do they call those bags?
Ziploc bags.
Ziploc bags. Put flour in there. And then in another Ziploc bag, put your breadcrumbs. Or you can use panko, by the way, if you really want to. But again, put it into a bag. And then in a dish,
what is egg wash?
It's just a couple of eggs. Just break a couple of eggs
agitate
the eggs, and then start out by putting the pieces of the fish into the bag with the flour.
As you can see me doing there.
As you can see Phelan doing
and
now.
Then take it out and
shake them off. Shake them off, let as much of the flour come off as possible. Then put it in the egg wash, and then again let the drips come off.
No,
and then
put it into the bag.
With the breadcrumbs, and then take those pieces out. The other thing that's worth mentioning is to use peanut oil, which is available here.
Peanut oil, that's unusual.
So what we're going to do...
Why would you use peanut oil?
So the reason you use peanut oil is because it has a very, very high smoke burn point. So it doesn't burn until after it gets past 450 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's a lot. That's a lot of heat. Mm. So ideal.
Does your fish not taste like peanuts in it?
No. It tastes great, actually. And actually, the great thing about peanut oil is that it's tasteless. And that's actually one of the great things about it. So it has a very neutral taste. It makes it perfect for frying foods. It also is low in saturated fat. I found this off the interwebs and thought I'd share this, because I think when you're frying food, I think it's good to know that there are some healthy benefits. It's also low in saturated fat, and it's high in polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats.
I love those monos.
Healthier than frying with shortening or lard. And the fish, you know, the fish time, wait till you see how quickly this fish will cook in about 4 or 5 minutes. Uh-huh. And you'll see it, once it starts to brown up, it's done basically. And then you can serve that with a salad with, as Phelan said, chips earlier, what Americans call French fries. But it's really, really yummy, and it's a great way to eat fish. Yeah. We've come to the end of the show, but what we want to do now is we want to do some shout outs, and we're going to do them now. And, you know,
shout outs to people who helped make the Obamagate project come through. People who funded it, they give money.
You guys are so
ObamaGateMovie.com.
We're so
it was
grateful.
Wonderful.
Nearly a million people actually have watched it so far. It's extraordinary. About 500,000, more than 500,000 people have watched on YouTube. But obviously, there's also other copies of it out there.
Yeah.
So we're delighted, and we're getting you guys are great.
Please forward it to anyone you think might be interested. So
and leave a comment.
So George from New York, thank you, George.
David from Boyd's, Maryland.
Carol from Zionsville, Indiana. Larry from Hornby Island, British Columbia. Tom from Woodbury, Minnesota. Joseph from Pinole, California. Guy from Los Angeles, California. We know who that is.
Hi, Guy.
Anne and David from Marietta, Georgia. Antonio from Silver Spring, Maryland. Richard from Simi Valley, California. Richard from Tucson, Arizona. Gregory from Columbus, Texas. John from Fort Worth, Texas. Catherine from Houston, Texas. Thomas from Lakeland, Florida. Paulette from Prairie Grove, Arkansas.
Yoko, by the way, from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Thank you, Yoko. Joseph from Wilcox, Arizona. Molly and Richard from Essex Junction, Vermont. Kathleen from Cincinnati, Ohio. Laura from Pasadena, Texas. George from Germantown, Tennessee. Cindy from Northridge, California. Julia from Brookline,
Massachusetts.
Patty Faye from Knoxville, Tennessee. Anne from Houston, Texas. Melissa from Union City, New Jersey. David from Birchleaf, Virginia.
BC
from Foster City, California.
Ronald from Rome, Georgia. Gary from Floyd's Knob, PR, Puerto Rico. Thomas from Baltimore, Maryland. Teresa from Torrance, California. William from Jacksonville, Florida. Tracy from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Vince from Reno, Nevada. Larry from Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Mike from Brighton, Victoria.
Julie from Sparta, U.S. What is that?
USMI.
We don't know what that means. Gary D. from Fayetteville, New York. Joe from Louisville, Kentucky. Thomas from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Michael from Santa Rosa, California. Judy from Plymouth, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Valerie from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Kevin and Margo from Round Rock, Texas. Genevieve from Boise, Idaho.
Oh, Genevieve, hi.
Carlos from Waco, Texas.
Janet from Thousands Oaks, California, right here.
Bennett from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Ed and Vicky from Bangor, somewhere. Mimi from Castro Valley, California.
Mark from Valparaiso in Indiana. Dan from Leesburg, Florida. Ed and Vicky from Bangor. Ed from Brampton, Ontario. John from Vancouver, BC, British Columbia.
Katarzyna
from Chicago, Illinois. Diane from Granite Bay, California. Sarah from Deerfield Beach, Florida. Jane from Abbotville, Minnesota. Janine from Freehold, New Jersey. Mark from Roswell, Georgia. Suzanne from Dallas, Texas.
And to wrap up, Bonnie from Calabasas, California. Carolyn from Surfside, South Carolina. Chess from Nashville, Tennessee. David from Gardner, Kansas. Christina from Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. And finally, Jay from Alexandria, Virginia. So thank you so much. We'll be continuing this shout out next week, but we cannot thank you enough. And we're going to have a big project coming up very soon.
Which we think you'll be interested in.
Even better, I think, than ObamaGate.
I think you'll want to help
more
us with
fun.
That.
And
we'll be asking you for help again. But guys, you've it's really lovely. Every time we read these out, it's like
it's amazing. These people we don't know.
It's amazing and it's lovely. This is our American dream that we could come here and want to do this work and have all of you guys turn up to help us. Thank God for you.
Thanks.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.